Well, it's my pleasure at this time to bring along one of the more popular personalities in the United States of America, Tom Joyner. And Tom, I listened to a lot of talk radio over the weekend, and the immigration thing is real big now. And some of the people are now saying, Billy Cunningham and people like that, are suggesting that maybe it's all over, that the Democrats have brought in so many illegal immigrants, and they're voting 4-1 in favor of the giveaway, the Obama giveaway programs, Section 8 and welfare and just different things there. But I hope it's not all over, but it may be. What's your interpretation?
Well, I don't think it's all over yet, Carl, but I do think it can very well be over if we sit on our duffs in 2016 and allow Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, or for that matter, Joe Biden, who I do believe is going to get in the race, to become president and continue on with this insanity that Barack Obama has brought us. You know, recently I had a chance to look back at old newspaper pictures of Americans around 1900. These folks, black and white, wore their nicest clothes every day. Men wore ties, ladies wore dresses. People took pride in being Americans and in their personal appearance. Contrast that today when pants are worn mid-thigh, tattoos over much of the body, metal in lips, eyelids, and ears, among other places. Blacks and whites, and now Latinos, with no concern for their appearance or their actions for that matter. We have become a decadent society. And that's why last week's Democrat debate, or so-called debate, came as no surprise to me. On stage, we found an elderly, self-proclaimed Democrat socialist in Bernie Sanders, who would not rule out a 90% tax on American incomes, and who promised everything would be free. Everybody with an IQ higher than room temperature knows nothing the government comes in with is free. Somebody pays for it. He was alongside who I believe to be the most corrupt, unethical person in our history, Hillary Clinton. And that's saying a lot with Obama in office. Sanders is a left-wing loon who believes that the United States must be like Denmark, Sweden, and Norway, where government rules, citizens meekly obey. Now, I've been to each of those countries more than once and walked and talked among common folks there, rather than rulers. Again and again, I heard complaints about their lack of freedom, a tax system that demands more and more of their earnings, just like Sanders wants for us, and their desire to get to the United States, the same United States that Bernie Sanders believes should be more like their countries. The real people in the rest of the world see America as their greatest hope, while socialists and communists in the Democrat Party seek to destroy it. To Sanders' left stood a buffoonish Hillary Clinton, cackling like a Canadian goose with a hernia, ducking and dodging questions with political talking points. Yet she was not confronted by the host of CNN or by the other four so-called opponents on stage with her, including Sanders, as she made the most outrageous statements, which I'll point out in just a few minutes. Three of the Democrats on the debate stage were people with no more hope of even coming close to winning the Democrat nomination for president than you and I. That left Sanders as Hillary's only competitor, and that's being kind. This was no debate. This was designed as a long commercial for Clinton. Sanders made a big issue of telling the camera that Americans were tired of hearing about Hillary's emails. The room, packed with die-hard Democrats, erupted in applause. Meanwhile, the FBI draws nearer to criminal charges against Clinton. This is an age-old trick in Washington politics. It involves stalling investigations as long as possible, and then claiming the American people have moved on, don't want to hear any more about it. Well, we haven't moved on from Clinton's emails. This was not a bad choice, as Hillary claims, about using a private server that put America's security at risk. This was a deliberate action by Hillary Clinton to keep evidence of wrongdoing close at hand so that destroying it was easier. She and Bill have used such tactics many, many times, and they've been able to escape their actions when evidence could not be found. The only time they miscalculated was when Monica Lewinsky produced the blue dress that the Clintons did not know she had kept. Hillary had been calling Lewinsky a crackpot, and worse. But once the evidence came forward, both Clintons suddenly stopped the name-calling. Bill subsequently lied under oath, and neither Bill nor Hillary have a license to practice law any longer. Does that bother Democrat supporters? Not in the least. Apparently, these gullible sheep would follow Hillary over a cliff and leave America with at least four more years of Obama-style disasters. The more the senile Sanders veers to the extreme left, the more Hillary scurries to get further left to placate today's Democrat base. If she gets the Democrat nomination for president, with Sanders out of the way, Hillary will flip-flop again and move somewhat away from the left-wing loons. But wait, she's changed her position so many times, it's going to be difficult to make people believe that she has any core values. In 2008, Hillary opposed same-sex marriage. She supported the Second Amendment and stood behind her vote for war in Iraq. She also opposed driver's licenses for illegal aliens. Last week, she reversed her position on all of them. Anything to keep power so the millions of dollars will keep pouring into the Clinton Foundation, a piggy bank for the Clintons' personal expenses. Only delusional Democrats, including gullible students, illegal aliens, blacks who've been made servants to the government programs, and Hollywood misfits, would still follow Hillary down the yellow brick road to socialism. Alexis de Tocqueville decades ago said this, "The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money." That day arrived in the early 60s, when Democrats put aside the Klan hoods in their attacks against blacks as they saw where the votes could be purchased with public money. Just make blacks and poor whites totally dependent on government handouts. Spread some walking around money, they called it, among certain devious black pastors who would and did sell out their own people for pieces of silver. Make blacks believe that they are victims to keep unrest in the black community, and then sit back and watch self-appointed black leaders stoke the fires of hate and assure a Democrat vote on Election Day. Those of you who have been registered Democrats in the past must understand the party you thought you knew left you decades ago. They've moved further and further to the extreme left. Take a look at the pitiful lineup of those representing today's Democrat Party. We begin, of course, with Barack Obama, whose sexual preferences and Muslim worship is detailed in the book Black House. I advise you to get that book and read it. It's written by a former Secret Service officer with eyewitness accounts. In it, you'll find disgusting revelations that, if true, should turn your stomach. America may not survive Barack Obama, but if we do, it will take years to repair the damage. We then move to Hillary Clinton, whose lies and corruption know no bounds. If she was Pinocchio, her snout would extend to China. Bernie Sanders, an avowed Democrat socialist. Folks, the Nazis were Democrat socialists. Next, we look at Nancy Pelosi, a deranged California liberal whose home state has been destroyed by Democrat policy. Harry Reid, a man to whom lies, deceit, and corruption are commonplace. Elizabeth Warren, as far left as Sanders, and who never met a giveaway of other people's money that she did not like. True racists like Elijah Cummings, Maxine Waters, Charlie Rangel, Sheila Jackson Lee, by the way, who has a liberal Yale degree but makes ignorant statements that a community college student would know not to utter, John Conyers, and several others. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's a Democrat leader, but who believes that the slaughter of babies is fine up to the day of birth. and does not rule out killing the baby after birth. Van Jones, appointed as Green Czar by Obama, but who had to resign after he was caught with his hands in the political cookie jar. California twins, Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein, and Rahm Emanuel, the Democrat mayor of Chicago, which is the snake pit of the country. Chicago's public school CEO, a Democrat, just pled guilty to issuing $23 million worth of no-bid contracts for which she received kickbacks. Lisa Crennel, a New Orleans Democrat donor, just pled guilty to corruption. Both are black Democrats who put themselves above the country, their state, and the people, black and white. Turning back to last week's so-called Democrat debate, here's what Sanders and Clinton endorsed: expanded Medicare for everyone, higher minimum wages, free public college, in-state tuition for illegal aliens, while our children has to pay out-of-state tuition when they go out of state, a much higher cost. Obamacare for illegals. These liberal Democrats want to continue providing illegal aliens with more incentives to break our laws and illegally enter the country. Government-run health care. That's high on Hillary's agenda, as well as higher taxes, while only some 50% of us pay taxes today. What these liberal Democrats did not dwell on was the Founding Fathers, or the Constitution, the words liberty or patriotic, the national debt approaching $20 trillion, abortion, individual rights, ISIS, our veterans, or Benghazi. It is not ISIS or other terror groups or the path that has been given to Iran to develop nuclear weapons that these liberal Democrats feel is the number one threat to America. It's global warming. Now, even if global warming was a man-made issue, and I don't believe that for a minute, the culmination of that global warming issue would be 75 to 100 years from now. Iran with nukes is a threat to us within 2 to 5 years. And ISIS wishes to attack America now. How old would you be in 100 years, or your children or grandchildren? Now, how old will you, your children, and grandchildren be in 2 to 5 years? You have to be pretty liberal or pretty dense or both to fear unproven global warming in 100 years above the very real probability of attacks from ISIS or Iran in 2 to 5 years. Put aside party politics. Register as an independent. You don't have to register as a Republican. That's what I did. I'm an independent in every sense of the word, but I am a conservative. Now, let's look at Hillary Clinton's statements in last week's so-called Democrat debate. She spoke for approximately 24 minutes, and almost everything that came out of her mouth was untrue. She said that she had spent her entire adult life trying to find a way for each child to live up to their potential. Yet she endorses the slaughter of those children in their mother's womb by Planned Parenthood. If you support killing them before they can be born, why do you need to concern yourself about their potential? There is no potential. They're dead. She played the feminist card by saying that if she was elected, fathers could tell their daughters that they too could become president. Well, my daughter is almost 49 years old, and I've been telling her that for all of those years. My granddaughters are 18 and 13 and brilliant students. They are told by their mom and dad that they can be anything they want to be if they're willing to work hard. We don't need to elect Hillary Clinton to allow us to tell our daughters that. Hillary said she'd been very consistent, and yet her flip-flops are legendary. She's been one of the least consistent major party candidates in years, and her transparency is a figment of her vivid imagination. Hillary says she's a progressive, another word for liberal socialist, and claimed a record of achievements. But the truth is, as senator from New York, she accomplished virtually nothing. Her name was attached to exactly zero. Zero legislation. Her major impact on policy came in the form of Hillary Care, which cost Democrats their majority in 1994. Hillary said that government should force companies to share profits with the workers, a page clearly from the Marxist playbook. She also jumped on gun dealers and said that everyone should be held responsible for their actions. Fair enough. But she is desperately trying to avoid paying for her own actions that are now under FBI investigation. One law for the Clintons, yet another law for the rest of us. Hillary Clinton claimed that she got a lot done when Medvedev was the Russian president. But Hillary knows that Medvedev was Putin's puppet, that Putin called all the Russian shots. Medvedev, for instance, as president, invaded Georgia in 2008. Hillary gave the Russians a reset button anyway. Hillary also advocated for taking on Bashar Assad, the same man she had said was a reformer. Hillary Clinton voted for the Iraq War, and her claim last week that she had put together a coalition to impose sanctions on Iran is another lie. International sanctions against Iran have been on the books for decades, but Hillary was deeply involved in negotiating the end of those sanctions, as well as allowing Iran to enriched uranium. When Benghazi came up in the so-called debate, Hillary said, "I'll get back to that." But she knew she was not going to get back to that, just as she did not get back to the feverish cries from our Libyan ambassador for more security. If that 3 a.m. call came, Hillary was apparently in the bathroom. Hillary's email scheme was not allowed under federal law. She simply lies about that. And she loaded up her private server in her own home with classified information, at least two top-secret emails. And then she deleted 30,000 emails from that server after she had been notified by Congress that the emails were the property of the government and the people. And she only asked to testify after Congress demanded she testify. So her assumption and assertion that she somehow volunteered to testify is another lie. She came forward just before the subpoena. On inequality, Hillary lied yet again. She said the economy is better with a Democrat in the White House. There has been a Democrat in the White House for almost 8 years. So why is inequality as bad as it has been in a century? Hillary railed against bank bailouts, but backed Dodd-Frank, which legally enshrines a too-big-to-fail policy. Bailouts are now mandated by federal law, thanks to Hillary Clinton and Democrats. She said that her plan would enable anybody to go to public college tuition-free. But that insults Americans who worked multiple jobs to pay their tuition, those who paid tuition with borrowed money, which took them years to repay. And Hillary knows that tuition is not free unless the tenured professors are willing to work free. Good luck with that one. Somebody has to pay for it, and that burden will fall upon the 50% of working Americans who actually pay taxes. The word most often used in the so-called Democrat debate was free, free, free. And aliens would be included in the free stuff. If you think that higher taxes is going to benefit you, then you need to stay away from sharp objects and from Hillary Clinton. Both Hillary and Bernie Sanders fell all over themselves to curry favor and votes for Black Lives Matter anarchists. They endorsed Black Lives Matter, even as that group was calling for the death of police officers. No endorsement of White Lives Mattering from Clinton or from Sanders. This entire movement is a fraud. While there is a minimum of killings of blacks by police, almost all of those blacks have criminal records and are resisting arrest. In the meantime, millions of black lives are lost each year through nasty abortions by Planned Parenthood. And black-on-black shootings are increasing in urban cities all across the country. Do those black lives not matter? Where are the protests? These are millions of black lives lost versus a virtual handful of black lives lost from police action. By all means, take action against any police officer who shoots a black person or white person without just cause. But let's keep things in perspective and drop this idea that only black lives matter and that multitudes of innocent black lives are being lost at the hands of police. It's just an excuse for radicals like Black Lives Matter to protest instead of work, to be paid for those protests by liberal donors, who I'll describe later in another commentary. Hillary went on to fantasy land yet again by trying to say that George Bush had chipped away at security on the books, when in fact Hillary Clinton voted to reauthorize the Patriot Act of 2006. And while Clinton claimed to have spoken out about warrantless searches, since then Obama has expanded the use of surveillance far beyond what Bush ever did. Hillary called for a paid leave program, along with the socialist Bernie Sanders, and said that California has had a paid leave program and it's not had ill effects. The truth is, California uses employee payroll taxes to finance paid family leave, and that means that all the costs of that program are hidden away. Businesses are leaving California in droves, and employment is declining due to high taxes. Businesses hire fewer women if forced to pay higher taxes in order to pay those mandated costs. Then Hillary Clinton said that we could afford all of these free programs because she would make the wealthy pay for it. Sanders says the same thing. This myth is repeated ad nauseum by Democrats. Rich people cannot pay for all the utopian programs proposed by the leftists. If the IRS took 100% all of the income over $1 million, it would total only $616 billion, far from the $18 trillion needed to fulfill the wish list of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Both Hillary Clinton and Sanders worshipped at the altar of Denmark last week, but Denmark has lower corporate tax rates than the United States and far higher taxes on the middle class. You pay in Denmark a 200% tax on cars. Socialism is not built on the backs of the rich. It's built on the backs of everybody who earns, and that includes the middle class. Ben Shapiro, who is a best-selling author, said that Hillary is a liar. But Democrats, he said, don't care because liars prosper in a world where hard work and honesty are punished in the name of equality and the great socialist utopia. Now I'll tell you who funds the radical left in America in a moment. But while we know that Chicago has some 50 shootings on a given weekend, in 2014, 97.5% of those arrested for shootings in New York City were black or Hispanic. 97.5%. And while the noise level of lesbians and gays in America is cranked up, they represent only 1.6% of the population. Talk about the tail wagging the dog. Now, who funds the radical left in America? Drawing on the findings of the Western Center for Journalism and Steve Baldwin, very few Americans realize there exists a large network of far-left donors and foundations dedicated to destroying the American way of life, our Christian-based culture, and our free enterprise system. They seek to remove America from its constitutional foundations and move it toward a European style of socialism. We had named the communist George Soros as one of those funding radicals, but much of the effort is coordinated by a little-known group called the Tides Foundation and the related Tides Center. Never heard of them? That's by design. Over the course of its 33-year history, the Tides Network has given hundreds of millions of dollars to anti-free enterprise groups, gun control groups, anti-private property groups, abortion rights groups, homosexual groups, groups engaged in voter fraud, anti-military groups, and organizations that seek to destroy America's constitutional base. Over 100 far-left groups have received fundings from the Two Tides groups. Anyone who tried to reveal Obama's real agenda, his role in the corrupt Chicago political machine, his socialist and communist associations, or his soft spot for Middle Eastern terrorists was labeled a kook by these same networks. The Tide Center has raised more than $48 and $71 million each year since 1998. The bulk of that money is distributed to far-left groups. The closely assigned Tides Foundation has reported revenues between $59 and $77 million each year since 2002. These two tax-free groups are supposed to be nonpartisan, but altogether, both Tides groups have contributed over $500 million to the far left. The Ruckus Society is a group of environmental anarchists dedicated to the overthrow of America. They train people to disrupt events such as political party conventions using street blockades and other violent techniques. They received $200,000 from the Tides Foundation. The National Resources Defense Council is notorious for defending the rights of animals and plants over the rights of humans, and they're dedicated to placing millions of acres of lands off limits. This group receives Tides funding. There's a long list of recipients of Tides funding that aren't no friends of America, including radical Muslim groups and groups like ACORN. The list, too long to recite here. Now, most of us try to have faith in people and in institutions, but that is naive today. Our enemies are numerous and dedicated to our downfall. We cannot continue to think that things will get better as the storm clouds gather around us. We must understand that socialism and communism are our enemies, just as is radical Islam. We must understand that this is how the hard left receives its funding. Indeed, this is the same network of financiers used by the Obama campaign machine to manipulate public opinion and put this communist-inspired, Muslim-endorsing man into the White House. What's happening to America is not some innocent movement of people who disagree with us, but a large, dedicated number of anarchist groups that wish to destroy us. The meek may inherit the earth, but they will die first at the hands of those who will hunt down the meek and destroy them. Carl?
Yes, indeed, and what a good commentary today, Tom Joyner, but the big problem as I see it today is the immigrants coming into Europe. It's just a problem they can't deal with over there. They've had a backlash in Germany because there's an anti-German rally over there. Merkel is favoring all the immigrants coming in, so they've got quite a problem in Europe. So it's a worldwide problem, Tom Joyner. And I understand, and I've got to Google this and research, but the purple states are the ones getting most of the immigrants because they want to turn those states into solid Democratic states in the next push.
Exactly. And Carl, it's interesting because as these people storm across, we don't know, none of us know, Germany doesn't know, Finland doesn't know, Turkey doesn't know, nobody knows who these people are. We don't know which is radical and which is not radical, which wants to kill us and which wants to leave us alone and live in peace. But we do know that once they get into the country, they start agitating and arguing for us to change everything, for the Germans to change everything to the way it was where they left. How ignorant is that? The only difference is they're not being killed over here the way they were where they left. So we've got a major problem, yes, but allowing these people into your country is going to be something we rue the day of. Now, I've got a lady from Germany who cuts my hair, Carl. She cut it this morning. We were talking about this very thing, and she was telling me about the unrest in Germany because of Merkel's actions in saying, hey, everybody's welcome. Well, everybody decided to come on in, and now they're deciding that, oh, wait a minute, we can't handle this. The immigrants get there. They're complaining because they've got dorm rooms set aside for them to have shelter. The immigrants are demanding that Germany give them apartments. That's what we're up against.
You're absolutely right. And Tom, I thank you for a good commentary today, and you just keep on doing a good work here, and I certainly thank the people of WTSB that enjoy you very much. You're getting more and more support as every week goes by, and so I know you know that, and so I'm mighty proud of the things that you do for the people of North Carolina and the people of the United States, and you heard all over the world on TuneIn Radio.
Yes, on the internet, Carl. And
that's right.
I do appreciate every listener we have, and I hope and pray that they will take some time to let me hear from them. I'd love to hear from them.
Tom, I put it this way. I pray that every listener we have will be doubly blessed, and every supporter that we have will also be doubly blessed, and I believe that will be the case in the long run. I think the problem has got so big that the Lord God Almighty will eventually solve this problem for America.
That's the only umpire, Carl, that's going to make a difference. And
amen.
God bless America.